Welcome to the Real People, Real Business Show, where we're talking with business owners who are in the trenches. Everyday people who are working hard and have relevant and inspiring stories that you can relate to. Everyone we speak to is actively building and growing their business and is here to share their experiences, lessons, wisdom, and guidance so you can be inspired to take action towards your own goals. Today, I am welcoming back Marissa Raymond. Marissa is the Mary Poppins for stressed out women looking to get back their joy for life's moments. Marissa is a parenting coach, a genetic counselor, and mom extraordinaire, and she is sharing her story about how her business and experiences have grown since we last spoke to her in November 2019. Welcome back to the show, Marissa. Thanks so much for taking the time to share your story today.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Stephanie. You know, I would cross the pandemic to see you.
Well, I think we see each other a lot anyway, but Marissa's in France, in Bordeaux, and she has been working on building her business for the last few years. And when we talked last time, we were sort of moving into a new phase in your business and discovering some new things about yourself. And I know that in the last sort of, 18 months, has it been? Something like that, something close to that. You've made some pretty interesting shifts and realizations. And I think what I would love to talk about today is some of those shifts, some of those pivots, some of those realizations that you've come to and how you got there. Because I think a lot of people go through that kind of evolution in their business where they are in this constant like discovery mode. And that's so normal and so natural. And you have really like walked into this with your eyes wide open. So tell us kind of what's happened since the last time we talked.
Oh my gosh, so much has happened. And you were a really big part of it. The pandemic happened, right? So the first thing that happened was the universe kind of put up this ginormous stop sign for the whole world and said, you know, you have a choice now to either fight this or go with the flow. And for me, going with the flow meant, because I have children as well, you know, what's my value? Like how do I want to show up in this world? And I was putting so much energy into building my business and trying to be mom extraordinaire that I was burning out without like crossing that line. So I knew what burnout felt like because I had gone through it in 2012. And it was almost like I was approaching that line, but not crossing it because I knew what that line was. So I was bottling things up. And the pandemic and confinement was really that opportunity because my kids were home and with distance learning, with schooling, how do I manage this? And it meant stopping and doing a lot of things in my business, really getting clear about what was important in my business and what wasn't. And being able to hit that pause button created so much space for then clarity to come through. And so the biggest thing that came through was, as a multi-passionate person, one of my biggest struggles in business was, how do I do all of the things? How do I combine the genetic counseling background with the parent coaching and the yoga and make it like one cohesive business? Or do I run three separate businesses? Which wasn't going to happen in a pandemic. And so stopping brought me that clarity of what is the framework? What's the vision? And I now feel so much more aligned with how the pieces fit in my business. And that has created so much space to an energy to then show up in other aspects of my life with that energy, right? Like just not being tired and overwhelmed and frustrated all the time.
So let's get specific. So what actually changed? I mean, what does it look like now?
Yeah. So before, I really was running three businesses, but pretending I was running one. And I had been doing that for a long time. And you and I had talked about that for a long time. And I was like, I just don't know how these pieces fit together, but I know that I'm not ready to give any of the pieces up. So I was seeing genetic counseling clients on a freelance basis. And I was teaching yoga in the schools here in France and online with adult clients and parent kid classes. And I had one-on-one coaching clients. And that all of those things took up different energy, and it felt like they were pieces of a puzzle that I knew could fit together, but I didn't know how. And so, you know, when you're working on a puzzle and you've done the frame and now you start going inside and you're matching the colors. And it was like, I was doing these three separate corners, and I knew at some point they were going to come together, but it wasn't happening. And so what changed was when I started connecting with what are my values, what do I truly believe? Who do I want to be in the world? And what would somebody with those values, how would they show up? It's almost like that step one of running your business, right? Like, I created a personal mission statement, right? You start your business with a business mission statement. I created a personal mission statement that started with me and like who I wanted to be. And in doing that, I was like, oh, why did I become a genetic counselor? What are the pieces of genetic counseling that I love to do? And it was about helping people through difficult, you know, helping them learn how to cope with a life-changing diagnosis, having discussions about how unique they were and how their story was unique, and how, you know, because we have 25,000 genes and they had only one that was altered, it was causing this disease, but there were still all these other pieces of them that meant that that disease was unique in them. And so they weren't going to be like somebody else with the same disease living across the world. So bringing those values into my coaching business and into my yoga business, I didn't even have to bring them in, because that's what I love about teaching yoga. I love teaching people how to do the postures in a way that feels good in their body, right? We don't all look the same doing warrior pose, and we can't all do it the same because our anatomies are different. Our children are unique. So you can't parent two children exactly the same way, because they're not going to respond the same way to the same boundaries. I mean, you can create those boundaries, but you have to communicate with them differently to match their learning styles. So I was like, oh, right. Like, I truly, truly, truly believe that we are all unique beings. And that's how all three of these pieces of my business fit together. So it completely shifted my messaging, completely shifted even just my excitement in showing up for each client. Because I was like, oh, like, I get to show up and talk to Stephanie, who's awesome because of this, 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 and this, right? Or like whatever, you know, whoever my client was.
I think you were looking at things like three different buckets, right? But failing to see the connection amongst them. And if I can paraphrase, in order to do that, you had to go back to who you are.
Yeah.
And this is why we always start any business design exercise with who you are.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in there. Is that thread. And we're all kind of multi-passionate, right? We all have these really different sides of ourselves. And if we don't figure out how to pull those all together, even if it's not like in a tactical way, it's more about the way you think about your business, we're going to feel a lot of friction, and we're going to feel like Jekyll and Hyde, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things that we talked about on the last episode that really planted that seed for me was about how our business is like another child. Right. And so that planted the seed of, oh yeah, I get to these things that I learned as a business owner, I get to bring into my life, right? Like the mission statement kind of idea. And these things that I learned as a parent and as a human, I get to bring into my business. Instead of seeing them as separate buckets and trying to fix basically the same problem in two different ways, because it was showing up differently in my business than at home, it's like, oh, right, this is a Venn diagram. And if I just start with the overlapping challenges, then the ripple effects will make those changes.
Yeah. And what did you call the problem before you figured out what it was?
What did I call it? Oh, that's such a good question.
You thought it was a productivity problem.
From that perspective. Oh yeah. I thought it was a systems problem, a productivity problem, an organizational problem. Yeah. I thought it was entirely that, like, I was not cut out to be a business owner or an entrepreneur.
And this is why I wanted to have this conversation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was none of those things. It was entirely my mindset.
Well, it was your perspective on your business, right?
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Like that's what I meant by my mindset. It was how I was viewing the situation. Yeah. And that's one of the things I love about you, Stephanie, right? Like, and something that you've taught me and continue to teach me when we work together, it's like, you know, what's the problem here? Like, stop verbally bombing and like, let's name this problem, because that's going to help us find the solution.
Yeah. And I remember it was like October, November, where you showed up and you were just like, aha, like, yeah. What was that?
So I truly believe that that was like the universe being like, you are taking this, you have shifted this understanding of what the problem is. And now I'm going to show you the way. And I think I shared this with you, like, yeah. So I was scrolling through Instagram and I came across this person that I hadn't even been following for that long, who was a parenting coach. And she was talking about the mindful family and how the mindful family takes into account not just parenting, but how children are these unique beings and can be our guides as much as we can guide them. And so it was, she had this, you know, very clear framework, and she used the term like, children are unique beings. And I was like, there you go. Like, just seeing that post and that thread was like, this is the piece. This is why I love working with children and don't want to let go of working with children, because I know that I am being guided and that these children are guiding their parents. And as an adult, we kind of cut that off, right? Like, we're supposed to know it all and share that. And that's so much of our struggle, is that we feel like we are not good enough or we don't know enough because our kids are pushing our buttons and like challenging us and we don't have a good response. And seeing this post was like, oh, right. Like, I actually get to learn from my children and use what I learned to then guide them, and use what I learned from my 13-year-old to guide my 10-year-old. And then my 10-year-old is going to be like, that doesn't work with me. So then I'm going to learn from my 10-year-old some, you know, how to guide him. And that's going to then change how I respond to my 13-year-old, and that all gets to change. So that's really what it was. It was this, I was open to getting that message. And that's what it really was not seeing, like I said, with that puzzle analogy, it was finding that connector piece between all those different sections.
And I think one of the other things I saw a big shift in you around was letting go of all of the shoulds. Like, I have this checklist of things that I should be doing. And you were like, you would stress yourself out every week about, I didn't get to like the 800 things that I think I should be doing every week. And what we got to was that there was a really natural thing that you did that just kept working for you. And I think one of the questions I asked you was, why can't that just be it?
Yeah. I totally think you're right. It, for me, a huge part of slowing down and doing less things then allowed me, it's like the elimination diet, right? Then I could start adding things back and be open to truly feeling like, is this something that I want to do? Or is this something that I feel like I should do? And if it's something that I feel like I should do, like, we'll put it on the like maybe list and see how it feels tomorrow or next week or, you know, never. And so really getting down to the one thing at a time. And I truly like that's, it goes back again to what we can learn from children, right? Because children don't learn everything at once. Children don't even develop all of their systems at once. Like some children get teeth early and some children learn how to walk early. And it's unusual to have a child who develops teeth early and walks early. Like it's just because their brains are and bodies are working on developing one system before they like can process the other stuff. So yeah, it really was like, let's just slow all of this down.
Well, when you start to look, and I don't think you're unusual in this respect, when you started to look at all of the things you were doing and forcing yourself to do on a regular basis and feeling like you failed if you hadn't done them all, it was like a 90-10 thing where most of your progress was coming from this one activity.
Yeah.
And all this other busy work, all this other should wasn't really contributing much.
And I would even take it further to also say that a lot of the shoulds were things that I didn't even like to do. Mm-hmm. So there were shoulds that I like to do. And that was one of the things that like, when we started talking about the shoulds, it's like, well, you like connecting with people, you like collaborating. So why aren't you like, let's do more of that. Right. And I was like, oh yeah, like I should be doing that because it brings, it lights me up and it fills me with pleasure. And the other things that felt super heavy, it was like, oh yeah, this is a should that doesn't serve me because it's sucking my energy away.
Yeah. I mean, they go hand in hand, right? The shoulds, anything that's a should usually says to me, I wish I didn't have to, right? But yeah. If something is an exciting, like you're going to go and gravitate towards the things that you like and the things that feel comfortable and the things that are effective, and they're effective because you like them and you feel comfortable. So why can't that be it? Why can't that be all you do?
And I think when you start out running a business, especially people who are drawn to running a business from like a sole purpose, there's this, I don't know what to do and I want somebody to give me a roadmap, right? And so you go back into student mode when you would walk into high school and they were like, here are the 7 classes you have to take and you can't take the next level until you pass this level. And you take that sort of short-term mentality I took that short-term mentality, and I don't think I'm unique in this way, into running a business. Like if I just had the roadmap, and I remember coming to you and saying like, Stephanie, just tell me the systems, like tell me what to do, right? And I'll go do it. And like, and you're like, I can't do that because like you have to decide if this is the right thing for you and if you like doing it. And so taking that ownership was a big piece of it, right? Especially even in confidence building.
It took a while, right?
Yeah. Or it took a ton of, because I had to deprogram all of the like, you know, I have 2 master's degrees and like have taken multiple certifications because I'm a really good student. And if you tell me what to do, I can do it. And I know what it takes to get that A, but that doesn't serve me running a business.
And I see such a difference in you. I remember at some point in time that clicked and your energy went like 90 degrees where it was just like, no, F this. I'm just going to do, I'm going to make this easy.
Yeah.
I want to make this easy.
Which is my brand, right? Like, how do you have more calm and ease in life?
Right? But it wasn't inside you yet, right?
Right, exactly.
You were this brand of fun, of playful energy and making things easy. But in the back end, you were like, I have to do all the things and I have to do them and I need a checklist and I didn't get to all of them this week and I'm going to, like, everything's going to fail.
Yeah. Yeah, other people's problems and solve other people's problems, but to slow down and have to like do the work on myself. there's a lot of that external validation that when I brought it inside and actually started practicing what I preach and became my own client, things fell into place and trusted the process.
Yeah. And you were able to make decisions from a very grounded place. So how does this work now manifest itself for you?
So the biggest thing was, one of the things that you and I worked on was a signature program. And I created the signature program that was a group program around this idea of family, of mindful family and playful discipline. And I put it out there. I did the launch, checking all the boxes that we had created together in a fun, easy way. And no one came. And in the past, I would have just like thrown my hands up and said, like, see, it's because I don't have systems, or I wasn't productive, or I'm missing something, and beat myself up and say, I'm, you know, terrible. And I just really trusted that there was a reason that people weren't coming. And there was a reason that I even felt resistance to do more than what we had put on paper in the launch. And the realization that I came to was, I already teach, at the time, I had 4 classes, total of 63 to 5-year-olds in yoga at school in the middle of a pandemic, like, because our schools are open here. And like, just that level of energy that I was taking on every week from a group setting was filling, I was holding space for too many people. And even adding those 6 people that I was trying to call into this group program was energy that I didn't have. And as soon as I made that realization, someone reached out to me and said, I really need your help. Can we hop on a consult call? Because I really want to hire you. And I pitched that group program as a one-on-one spontaneously. Like, I wasn't even like prepared. And within 24 hours, paid in full, first session signed up, sceduled. And I'm now running that program as my signature program as a one-on-one.
Yeah.
I get to hold space for one person. And the other thing was that group program, I again was like trying to externally please people. And so I had scheduled the calls to be in the evenings. And I had said to you and to multiple people in September, I want to like be really strict with my boundaries around family and work time. And I don't want to work in the evenings. And I knew I needed to be on some coaching calls in the evenings because of time zone differences, but I didn't want to add more. And then here I'm creating this program that took away the one night a week that I didn't have anything after 6 p.m. And that was completely out of alignment with what I had said I wanted to do and the values that I had set for myself, or that I knew to be true for myself. And sure enough, like this one-on-one client, it's, you know, even though she's in a different time zone, we meet in that time slot that's convenient for me. And I have a couple of other consults coming up too for those time slots. So it's like, oh, right. I actually get to choose my hours, and I'm not dependent on people in the US and their time zone and like being available for them. Like, this is my business and I get to set the times that I want to work with people. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and it wasn't meant to be. So that trust is huge for me.
You have this crazy intersection of obliger and perfectionist.
Yeah.
And that's a heavy load to carry for a business owner, for someone who's also responsible for their own trajectory. I feel like you have come a long way and shifted that energy, and you are so like owning this shit and just like comfortable and calm. Tell me a little bit about that sort of journey, because we've had a lot of conversations about it. And it's not that it goes away.
No.
you found this way to, and maybe it's a mindset thing, or maybe it's a way of working, or maybe it's a combination of all of those things. But just talk to me a little bit about that, because I know that you know a lot about this too.
Yeah. I mean, I really think that the biggest, I know, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, like I was the reason I was being held back, right? Like I was self-sabotaging because of my obliger tendencies, because of my perfectionism, which all circles back to a feeling of worth, right? Like I wanted my business and my success in my business to mean something about my worth that was external, because there were still pieces of myself that didn't like myself, and still pieces of myself that were trying to people please. Being really open and really honest about that, and recognizing that for every client that I took on, I was holding space for them, and that was taking time away from, that's not the right word. It wasn't taking time away. It was taking energy away from holding space for myself. So I was seeking other people that would hold that space for me. And that's the obliger piece for it, right? So owning that and knowing that I am deserving of the same level of space holding for myself that I give to others, and that was part of the slowing down, allowed me to then not even just perfection, like kind of tap into that perfectionism, and but also the know-it-allness, right? Like I didn't need to know it all, because there's an element of wanting to be a perfectionist that was like, I wanted the 100 on everything. And then there was also the, I'm not ready to move forward because I don't have enough information, and that information's out there. And if I get that information, then I'll know more, and then I'll get the 100, right? Like, so I could get 100 with what I know now if you tested me on what I know now, but there's more stuff I don't know. And so that's what's holding me back. And that's the piece that I was able to decouple. And so one of the first conversations that you and I had years ago, around, you know, seeing your business as an experiment and that it's a long game, and just like being able to get messy and have fun and take chances and learn from things that don't work so well. Like they're not failures. They're lessons learned. I'm a scientist, right? Like I know that in science, and yet in my business, I was like, oh, I need to know all the things. Letting go of that then allowed me to show up more imperfectly, because it wasn't just about, I can get 100 with things I know now. It was like, the 100 doesn't even matter.
The 100 doesn't exist.
The 100 doesn't exist.
There's no, like, and you and I see this, Marissa and I work together coaching in another program. And we see this all the time with our clients in that program, that there's like, there's this constant seeking for that final checkbox. Yeah, I did it all right. And that doesn't exist. And the more that we can help people understand that it's always a continuum, and this is like a growth product. This is, and it should be, because that's what's exciting and fun and evolutionary. That's what allows us to be creative. That's what allows us to chart our own paths and try new things and have this freedom that we don't get when we work inside a box. And so on the one hand, that's really exciting. But on the other hand, we resist it because we're like, oh, but I have to get somewhere. I have to reach that thing that is elusive, that thing that I, but when am I there? When am I there? When am I there?
And to that point, like it's, when am I there? When am I there? When am I there? And I think the other thing that you really helped me arrive at was, what am I going to do when I'm there? Like if there was a there, then what, right? Like when you're in high school or middle school or whatever, the goal is to graduate. But when you're running a business, what's the end goal, right? The end goal isn't to shut your business down, right? So like the end goal is to continue to grow. And so that means that there's never an end goal. Like you reach that goal and like another goal. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been programmed that way in like an academic setting. And so that was the key thing you shared with me, was like, like, and then what?
we're not programmed this way in any cultural or social construct that we, this is why as human beings, we want containers. And this is, I'm going to go on a soapbox here for a second and maybe an unpopular opinion, but this is the reason that we developed religion. This is the reason that we developed all of these sociocultural constructs, because we can't contemplate something that doesn't end. We can't contemplate infinity. We don't want to contemplate. We want everything to be nicely tied down for us and have some type of boundary around it, right? And so we create these constructs, we create these boundaries, we create these ways of explaining things so we don't feel so uncomfortable. And unfortunately for us, actually fortunately for us, in my perspective, business is this never-ending growth cycle. And you get to choose how far you go. You get to choose where you want to like hang out for a little bit. You get to choose if you're happier having repeatable processes that just, or if you're just like, this is an ongoing journey, I'm going to see how far I can get, right? So that's all up to you. But we want these like boxes to work within. But when we finally realize that that actually constrains us, that actually makes it harder. When you can let that go and just be comfortable with there is no end and there is no answer and there is no like checkbox, it's liberating.
And that was that Venn diagram intersection of business and parenting for me, yeah. Right? Because it's the exact same thing in parenting. And what do we say as parents all the time? It's like, you know, oh my God, this is so exhausting. I'm tired. Like, when is this going to end? When they're 18 and they go to college, then I can, right? And you set these like these goals or when they go to school. And so much of what I heard during the pandemic was like, I can't take my child being home with me. I can't wait till they go back to school so that I can go back to doing these other things. And I totally understand that. And there were days that I said that, and my kids went back to school in May here, in France. So like my kids have been in school for almost a full year. And I still had those days where I was like, when school's over and it's summer and like, I, you know, like there's always, it's the same roller coaster, different, or the same, like we're still on a roller coaster, just different roller coaster, different challenges. Right. And so recognizing that and saying like, oh, this is, again, not the value. Like, I don't want my kids every single day to hear me say, I can't wait till you're 18 and out of the house, or I can't wait till you go back to school so I can do my thing, right? Like, and it doesn't mean I love every moment of the time with my children, but I recognize that it was about quality, not quantity. And those same things apply to my business. Like, I did not need to be in my business 60 hours a week to burn myself out to be successful. The more that I could be like, show up when I was in a quality state of mind, when doing the things that I wanted to do, you know, not things that I felt like I should do, and know that it was a long game that I was playing, it took that pressure off of every single day being a burden.
Yeah.
Unless I like checked the boxes or signed a client or, you know, had this big win. And there's this amazing quote that I found during the time from Robert Louis Stevenson, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's like, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. And being able to show up with that energy, like, oh, what seeds did I plant today? Oh, yay, that's awesome. That is like, that was the major mindset shift, I think, for me, that then led to, you know, I planted this seed for a group program that didn't work, but the structure of the program and the content of that program is golden and beautiful and aligned and necessary and helpful. And so I planted that seed, and people are starting to show up to fill that in a one-on-one way, not a group way, which is awesome.
And you just didn't know what it would grow into. And that is so the nature of experimentation that's so critical in our businesses, is we need to just take like some action. And when my clients come to me and they're like, okay, let's build the perfect program, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, because let's get this as closely aligned to where you are right now. But the only way it's going to evolve into something that's truly what you want is by trying it, right? And I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I can get you close to it, but you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to try and you're going to have to feel it and you're going to have to experiment. And that is so okay. There is no failure. And that's not like motherhood and apple pie. There's no failure. It's all just good information.
Yeah.
And flipping that, like, that judgment into curiosity is such a critical thing that we have to learn how to do. And I think you learned that too, right? You evolved out of this constant, this is why I didn't want to give you checklists and work plans. And yeah, we did.
And I fought you for like a month on that. Like the first month of us working.
But that's not the issue. And I think it actually worked against you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And it, and,
so and that was that energy that we were just talking about with our clients, right? Like that was that energy of like, I have less time in my business now and I want to like create just as much success. So how do I take this productivity problem that I thought it was at the time and be more productive in fewer hours? And you totally were like, you know, this isn't right. Like you coach this, you know, that's not right. We tell people this all the time. And I was like, I know, but it's right for me.
I love your parallels between running a business and parenting. Now your kids and my kids are exactly the same age. I have an older one that's 13 and a younger one that's 10, well, just about 11. And this whole, like this seasons of parenting, I feel like we've just entered a new season of parenting and it is a doozy. Holy smokes. But the amount that I am learning, because I am now staying awake, watching, seeing what I have to do. And I feel like I'm finally, for the first time, really showing up as a parent for my kids. And I just think the parallel to our develop, I was a crappy parent for toddlers. I really was. Like I just did, there was all the wrong things happening at the same time. And I'm just not wired that way. But now that my kids are almost adults, and my daughter is like 5'5" and my son is 5'3" and like they're adult sized children now, I'm like, I can connect with them and I can talk to them and I get them. I get this stage of kids.
And I think that's such a, like a, you know, we're not always the best parents in a specific season because we are, again, trying, we haven't done the work on ourselves. And so we're trying to control and fix and heal our own wounds by like in our parenting, right? We're trying to heal our own like inner child by parenting our child, which, and our child is not us. And so their reactions are different. And I totally agree. I mean, it's funny because with my 13-year-old, he's a lot like my husband and not like me. And so all of these challenges that I was having and that I was anticipating having with him entering puberty ultimately came down to my being triggered by the fact that he wasn't doing it the way that I wanted him to do it. Right. Like, and stepping back, like you were saying, like being awake and just watching and observing and trusting that at some point, like he has to go out into this world and solve the problems for himself. It doesn't serve him if I am constantly like helicopter parenting him and trying to fix all the problems and giving both of us permission to like not try and like butt heads, like, so he gets to solve the problems and he knows I'm there for him if, you know, he needs support, and taking that pressure off myself to try and fix him also gave me the space again to hold space for myself and do my own inner child healing on 13-year-old Marissa, who's still sitting in my brain going like, pay attention to me. While he's going and making choices and decisions in his own way. But if I was trying to help him navigate those problems, like it would just create more chaos and more frustration for both of us.
Okay, so here's the great parallel, right? Our kids, our 13-year-old kids have to make some decisions and have to exist by themselves and stand on their own feet by themselves for a little while. And we get to make adjustments. We get to let that happen and then tweak, right? I know where she's going, what she needs is this foundational core support, but she does not want me to tell her exactly how to eat. You know, like even cooking, right? She'll be like, oh, just tell me generally how to do this. Don't do it for me. I'm like, loud and clear. Got it. Right. Look at our businesses.
Yeah.
When we are trying to like shoehorn our business into this like prescriptive guidance that we think we should be using, we have a rebellious teenager.
Yeah.
We have this business that is friction all the time. But if we just come back to our core, what are the core things you do well, you like to do that are come naturally to you? What's that love and support and that care and feeding? Like that is the foundation and that is the core that needs to be in everything that you do. And then the details, all these details, those can shift, those can change. And maybe it's not the prescriptive guidance and maybe it's something totally else. And that's fine. That little teenager gets to experiment. That little teenager gets to find its way. As long as the core, that foundation is there, that is aligned with your values.
Is that
too much of a stretch?
No, I think it's exactly spot on. And I think it fundamentally comes back to trust, right? When we trust our children to go out and make mistakes for themselves, and we trust ourselves to be there to support them when, if and when their decisions don't turn out the way they expected it to, right? That cake turns out burnt, right?
And it has.
That trust, right? That trust is expansive. And one of the things that we kind of going back to the social constructs, trust is one of the very first characteristics or skills that we learn as babies, right? You come onto this planet as a helpless newborn and you need to trust that your parents are going to take care of you or that the person, your caregiver is going to take care of you. Then you go to school and you need to trust that the teachers are going to take care of you and that the other kids are going to, you know, to take care or that you're going to live collectively. And at so many points in that timeline, it's shaken, right? And so trust is so foundational to our human existence and our human development that many, 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 many of us do not have a solid foundation of trust. And I think, like thinking about the pandemic and the lessons from it, that was a big piece for me in having to step back and slow down and connecting with my values, because honesty and integrity are such important integral values for me and connection. I have to trust that because that's about relationships. And that means I have to trust you. If I believe that in honesty, then I have to not only be honest with you, but I have to trust that you're going to be honest with me so that I can create that connection. And in business, it's the same thing. When we can kind of step back, when we can do a client getting activity or have a conversation with somebody and then trust that that's the seed that we planted and that something will happen, and maybe it won't happen tomorrow, maybe it won't happen next week. An example of this is just yesterday, somebody booked a consult with me based on a comment on Facebook I made over a year ago in a Facebook group that I am not even active in anymore. And she reached out and like went to my website and booked a consult. If I had sat a year ago writing that comment going like, oh, I hope somebody takes this comment and like, you know, books a consult, that comment would have been totally different. it was a mom's group. So it wasn't even like, I wasn't there with the intention of being of service, but I was genuinely being of service. It came across in a year later, that seed group, another potential client. That trust is so fundamental, and it requires us to truly, truly like sit in the discomfort and tear apart all the mistrust that we've built up, all the suit of armor that we've built because people have let us down, or we've let ourselves down, or we've said we're going to do something in our business and it didn't work out the way we expected to. That is a core foundational piece in our business that we don't, and in our parenting and in our human existence, that we don't always connect with or recognize how it's shaping the decisions we make.
And it's a bit of trusting ourselves too, right? It's a trusting our gut. Like when all these people are going through this program and they're like, I have to do all the things, I have to do the things. And then I talked to two people and neither one turned into a customer. I'm a failure. But what we're trying to get at is not the payment. What we're trying to get at is a relationship.
Yeah.
And so when we realign ourselves with like, what intuitively will make this feel like a relationship? And that's all I do. And I trust that something like that is going to turn into, that person may never hire me, but they may refer 10 people to me because I created a relationship. Relationships are the currency of our business. I don't care what you say. Relationships are where business comes from. And if we can't do that, if we go into this weird energy of like, I have to turn every conversation into a sales conversation, that's based on mistrust. That's based on me not trusting that you are smart enough to make a decision for yourself as my customer, that this is right for you. And when you let all that go and you just go out there and you show up as a good human and you create relationships, it's all you need to do. It's that easy.
Yeah,
it is. It's that easy. All this other crap, all these formulas, if you are building your marketing based on formulas, and like, let's be honest. I mean, if I'm selling clothing in an e-commerce site, we're talking about a little bit of different marketing, but for service-based providers, for coaches, consultants, for all the people that we talk to on a regular basis, my marketing just needs to be about creating relationships. It is, if you are out there trying to formulize your marketing, I think I just made up a word.
Sounds good.
You're marketing from a formula. You will get people who like formulas. You will get people who respond to the things that you probably don't want them to respond to. So
yeah,
it's that easy.
And so that's where it comes back to, because, you know, you and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, one of the things that I used to say a lot was trust, and I heard a lot was trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. And that is totally 100% true. And what you just made me think of was that the shift for me was, in addition to trusting the process, I started trusting myself. Mm-hmm. Because trusting the process is still an external thing, and it still means I have to show up in a certain way. And if I don't trust myself, then how can I trust the process? Even if I say I trust the process. And so if I trust myself, that means I know what's true for me. Yes. And I know that if I, like you said, for me and for a lot of, for people in service-based businesses, there is nothing better than building that relationship, planting that seed and watching that grow.
Yes.
And trusting that any conversation you have is planting that seed. So you could be talking about your parent, your kids, you could be talking about your relationship with your parents, you could be talking about baseball, you could be talking about the weather, like, but every conversation is planting a seed and building a relationship.
Making a connection, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love it so much because it becomes so much, we can give ourselves permission to just be okay with that. And when I hear trust the process, my inner rebel is like, screw you. I'm not trusting you. Like, why should I trust your process? But if I say, trust yourself, that like, there's a lot of equity in that. And you do, you kind of just have to jump in and trust yourself because you probably know a lot more than you think you do. And so we've got to remove this layer of formulas, this layer of checkboxes, this layer of like needing to know and just be a good human out in the world. Marissa, what's next for you? Where are you going from here?
Well, I'm really enjoying marketing in my own way, trusting the process. And with this playful discipline, family mindfulness one-on-one, and if that leads in back into the group program, then awesome. So that's really where I'm headed business-wise and continuing to trust myself to make decisions that are aligned with who I want to be as a business owner and a parent, like as a human and all of the hats that I wear. And so really trusting myself to stick with my, to create and stick with my boundaries, which like we were saying earlier, when you're sitting in that energy, it just creates ripple effects in your business and your family and all aspects of your life. So
yeah, there are no business police that are going to come after you if you do things differently.
Yeah. And so that's my, I feel like what's next is actually what is right now, like just continuing.
And that is like, that is utopia, right? That is exactly what we're trying to achieve. Whatever that means for you, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
With everyone. It's just like, I'm good. I'm good. And this is easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your one big piece of advice for people who are on the same journey as you? And maybe are you, you know, 18 months ago?
Go back to your mission statement, right? The thing, go read Stephanie's How to Create Your Mission Statement for Your Business and apply it to yourself. Like,
I guess I better write that.
I have it and I can share it, but it really goes back to those simple questions like, what makes you unique? What do you value? How do you want to show up in this world? Who do you want to surround yourself by? Who do you want to surround yourself with? And and start with yourself. And if you're a parent, have the conversation with your co-parent or your spouse about what that family mission statement looks like, so that you also have a starting point, a foundation piece for when things feel chaotic or uncomfortable, and you can go back and say, well, we are a family that believes this. And so that we're based on that, this is the decision we're going to make, even if it feels really uncomfortable. Root yourself, ground yourself in your values and what you know to be true for yourself, and trust yourself.
Awesome. Okay. We're coming up on time. And of course, you and I could talk for, and we always do talk for hours, but thank you so much for taking the time to chat today. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always a pleasure to be here and chat with you, Stephanie. So you can find me at marissaraymond.com or on Instagram at marissaraymond77. And yeah, that's where I am.
I'll put all your links in the show notes as well, but go connect with Marissa. She has amazing resources for you, both as a parent and watch her business journey, because it's been a really fascinating one. And I am so pleased with where you have arrived. Your energy has shifted so much. And I think I can see you having fun with your business.
Yeah. And I'm sleeping better.
I like that too. All right. Thank you for tuning in to hear the story today. And finally, I would love to have you join us for our next episode, where we're going to be speaking to Maggie Patterson, who is the Small Business Boss. She helps you cut through the BS while building a sustainable service-based business. She is a fellow Canadian and she is a badass. She teaches business owners to do things differently, put people first, and own it, and is sharing her story about how her business came to be. So thank you again for being here. If you've enjoyed today's content, I would love for you to give us a review on whatever platform you're on. This helps us share these stories with an even bigger audience. Until next time, keep building, keep dreaming, and keep being real.